Next is item 10. Population policy public consultation. We have with us Ms. Chow and Mr. Nip. It's the public engagement exercise on population policy. I welcome you again, and I give the floor to Mr. Nip. This is a consultation exercise. I thank the chairman. The consultation policy was released a week ago. We make good use of time to use the opportunity to give you a presentation of the paper, and we ask you to give us your valuable views in the four-month consultation period. And I will go over some salient points of the consultation paper. First of all, in the CE's election platform, he's pointed out that population policy is very important, but priority will be given to Hong Kong people. And the success or failure of the population policy depends on societal and economic development. It also has something to do with inclusion in society. In December last year, the Population Policy Steering Committee was reinstated. In previous government, there was one, and for this steering committee, we have the CS4A as the chairman, and there are 11 ex officio members. We have experts from different sectors giving us input. This is a four-month consultation consultation exercise because this is a big challenge. There has been discussions on population policy, but these discussions are not targeted and not in-depth. So hopefully, through an open and inclusive approach, we will be able to have a more detailed, more in-depth understanding of the population policy. And through our measures, we will be able to respond to these challenges. The population policy covers a wide scope. The first principle set is that for important issues that are dealt with elsewhere, it will not be included here. And that include retirement protection, because under the Commission on Poverty, there are studies. And when it comes to LTHS, that's the same. And sustainability of public finance, that is also a platform for discussion in relation to healthcare services for elderly people. The FHB and the relevant panel are also discussing that. So these items will not be one of our focus discussion. In 2003, there was a population policy paper. The objective is somewhat different from this one. We aim at grooming our talent so that we can position ourselves as the metropolis in Asia, and that will tie in with our economic and societal development. We also aim at making an improved and inclusive society. Challenges. You may refer to the paper for detail. There are four. One is an aging population, and the other one is the dropping of our labor force. We only have 5 years when it drops in 2018, and there is also an increasing rate of support rate. Population growth relies on new arrivals. Starting from 2027, there will be more natural death than natural birth. So starting from 2027, if there is no immigrant, our population will dwindle. New arrivals, including the 150 one-way permit quota a day, is one of the major sources of our population increase. course, there are challenges and there are opportunities. In relation to opportunity with better quality in terms of financial status and also at the education level of our elderly people, we hope that they will remain active in their old age. There are three frameworks. First, we look at our existing population. Two, we look at a new source of manpower. We look at our aged population. There are three sectors. There are five important policy directions and not measures. Because if we can reach consensus in direction, it will be easier for us to formulate measures. If we start with a detail of measures, we will get focused get bogged down on the detail. So we will first see the forest before we look at the individual trees. There are five policy direction. With a dropping labor force, we will look into how to increase it. Say, for example, how to attract more people to join the labor force. Apart from quantity, we also have to pay attention to quality. They include, in our existing population, quality of our manpower, education, training, to reduce skill mismatch. In relation to immigrants, we take into account societal and economic development. Our policies and approach will be more targeted to attract labor and professionals. Of course, on top of that, is a low birth rate. It's about 1.3. That means one woman will give birth to 1.3. In 2003, it was 0.9. We think more or less it's about 1.2. Replacement level is 2.1, so there is still some way. We hope to provide a conducive environment for young couples to give birth to children. In relation to our aging population, well, an aging population will increase the burden of healthcare and social welfare. We also have to consider how to encourage our elderly in engaging in active aging. They include an age-friendly environment. And these are opportunities that we need to consider. In the consultation paper, we also mention housewives. If they would like to join the labor force again, they will become useful labor. For people who have reached their retirement stage, they can also rejoin the labor force. But of course, it should not stifle opportunities for our youngster. The disabled ethnic minorities and new arrivals. In relation to that, we have the inclusion issue. We pay attention to youngsters. How do we? Through education and training, in particular, vocational training, enables our youngsters to use what they've learned in work, to equip them what they need to cope with career development. That includes diversification of our economy, to equip our youngsters with the necessary skills, to establish ethos and ethics, and to promote continuous studies. In relation to new immigrants, we have schemes to import professionals and talents, but that amounts to only 2.5% of our population, which is rather low. We have a supplementary labor scheme for certain trades. There is a problem of recruitment difficulties. So under the supplementary labour scheme, is there any flexibility or elbow room to improve it to respond to the demand? Of course, the premise is to protect interest of local labour. That is very clear. When local resources cannot meet demand, we will look at how we can make use of the existing scheme to get some flexibility. Through the supplementary labour import scheme, there are about 2,000 people, which amounts to 0.1% of our labour force. Compared to Singapore and Macau, the supplementary the imported labour accounts for over one quarter of their labour force. Childbirth. What works and what doesn't? There are many different views. But based on international experience, there are two ways. Direct subsidy or tax breaks. The other one is policies to reduce their opportunity cost. Say, for example, special holidays or flexible work arrangements so that they can work and at the same time take care of their family. We look at Nordic countries. Through subsidy and tax breaks, the effectiveness is higher. But at the same time, they have a high tax rate. An aging population, the opportunities that is brought about is something that we need to look into. Apart from the five policy directional and the three sectors, there are also a number of issues that are hotly debated. And the committee has also deliberated on this. It is not appropriate to set a population ceiling. In the past decade, every year, we have an average population increase of 0.6%, which is very low. Starting from 2018, our labour force will drop. We have a low birth rate. So when it comes to population increase, that alone is small. Setting a ceiling of population is not beneficial to our long-term development. Under the one-way permit, we think that it should remain unchanged because the one-way permit system is to enable family reunion. 98% of the people under this scheme are for family union, and 48% of them are for reunion with the spouse, 49% with their parents, and only 2% reunion with relatives. So there is a need. And we also have the constitutional foundation under the basic law. The relevant policy bureau has been reflecting their views about improvement measures to departments. The third issue. Are type 2 babies. That means babies born to non-Hong Kong residents. Starting from 2013, there is a zero quota. So in the future, there won't be any such babies. And in the past, they amount to about 200,000. We have to deal with the 200,000 babies born to non-Hong Kong residents. When are they going to come to Hong Kong? What support do they need? These are things we have to deal with, but this is only a transitional problem because after dealing with the 200,000 people with the zero quota, there won't be any more type 2 babies. And we will work on collating data and formulate and make plans. This is our policy direction. We keep an open mind to hear your views, and if you can tell us whether you agree with our general policy direction. If you do, what measures will be most effective to achieve such policy direction? These will be taken into account by the relevant bureau and department. We don't have a preconceived stance. We will also take into account our societal and economic development. In the coming 4 months, we hope to collect thoughts for Hong Kong. And the title of this consultation paper is Thoughts for Hong Kong. We have API, we have 3 microfilms, we have a web page, and you can also give your comments on the internet. There is a Facebook group. So there are many different channels to collect views from the community on this issue. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nip. Indeed, population policy is very important to a city or country. It covers many different policy area, and is also related to formulation of policies. And we attach great importance to it. Now I open the floor for members to ask questions. I see 2 hands, Yung O Tong and Zhong Wing Chan. First, we see you. Thank you. I thank the Commissioner for coming. We agree with the general direction. We think that it is a little bit late. Yes, in 2018, our labor force will reduce. In the past, we have talked about this. Without affecting the upward mobility of youngsters, can we extend the retirement age? Can we draw reference from other Asian countries, say for example Taiwan, Japan? To reemploy retirees in light work, say in Japan, at the airport, there are elderly people taking visitors to bus stops. There are also guides at tourist spots. It's very good. This will bring color to their retired life and at the same time increase the labor force. If such work can be assigned to retirees, I believe that will be quite appealing. And with regard to the zero quota for type 2 babies, now we've seen problems relating to kindergartens. I think we should start our planning with regard to primary schools and secondary schools. Now, these 200,000 type 2 babies may come back to Hong Kong to study. Let me continue. And so maybe there will be a tight supply of school places for primary and secondary schools. We've seen chaos with regard to the kindergarten entry situation. So let's plan ahead. The DAB has suggested that concerning mainland pregnant women with local spouses, we think that for their hospital charges, they should be similar to the level charged for local pregnant women. But because for if the the charge is $100,000, $200,000, then mainland pregnant women whose spouses are Hong Kong people may not be able to afford this amount. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. I want to make 3 points in relation to your presentation, Commissioner. First of all, in Hong Kong, do we have long-term planning concerning the population of Hong Kong? There was a CEO who said that the population in Hong Kong should be 12 million. So do you have a figure in mind? This is a small place. Hong Kong is a small place. How many people can it accommodate? And you have to provide housing and other facilities and welfare benefits for the people. So you can't say, yes, at the moment the population is 8 million and we don't have a figure in mind. And then the quality of the people. Yes, I understand that you want to attract talents, want to attract investors. In other countries, they have a scoring system to attract talents. At the moment, there is a daily quota of 150, and you're saying that you don't intend to do anything about this daily quota because this quota is mainly for family reunion. But I want to say that we have more Hong Kong males and also Hong Kong females getting married in the mainland. And there will be many, many more to come for family reunion purposes. 50,000 people per annum, are we able to cope? You said that the basic law stated that in fact, for those coming on family reunion grounds, the vetting is done by the mainland, and then the zero quota policy. Now, I want to say that for those who are the babies born in Hong Kong, they do have the right of a vote. The zero quota policy cannot solve the problem. Now, for these pregnant women, if they go to our hospitals, can we push them out? No, you can't. So long as these babies are born in Hong Kong, they have the right of a vote in Hong Kong. Thank you. Madam Koh Poh Ling, Deputy Chairman. Yes, thank you, Chairman. I want to say something with regard to our population. How can we increase or strengthen our labor force? Now, when you were Director of Social Welfare, you regularly met the women's groups, and I believe you did hear their views. It's important that family service be enhanced to release women into the job market. Many women want to work. They want to have their quality of living raised and enhanced. And then second, it's important that we raise the quality of our labor force. In the past, we did quite a good job with regard to in-service training, on-the-job training, or the situation is not so good now. I think it's important that in-service training or on-the-job training be provided. And then new sources of people. It's important that we attract talents from outside Hong Kong. Our local education services are very attractive to outsiders, especially to mainlanders. So after they've completed tertiary education, after they've got their master's degree, can we try to attract them to stay in Hong Kong to work? And then the elderly population. You know, at the moment, the retirement age is 60, but a lot of welfare benefits for the elderly start at 65, at the age of 65. So you have to try to make the two consistent. And you have to enable elderly persons to pursue a second career when they are in their 50s or in their 60s. You know, many people are physically very fit and very healthy, even though they are over 50 years old or 60 years old. All right, the two members have used up their 3 minutes. Mr. Chen. Yes, Chairman. Now, look at talents in the police force. They retire at the age of 55. What a waste of manpower resources. You can see that a lot of organizations are eager to employ retirees from our disciplined services. I think they are really retiring at a very early age. Now, in Japan, in Singapore, in many neighboring places and countries, they want young couples to give birth to more children. And you can see that, in fact, many colleagues in this council do not have children. But of course, Mr. Lau Pak Kei has just given birth to a baby, but for others, many of them have zero children. This is because there is not enough incentive. I understand that in some Middle East countries, there is a substantial amount of cash given to a couple with a baby. But I'm not asking for that in Hong Kong. But then you know that for the tax allowance, it's only $100,000 a year. This is rather meaningless to middle-class families. So I'm not asking for cash rewards for these couples. What about a greater or a bigger tax allowance? You know, the middle class are very worried, and they decide not to have children. Now, the former CEO advised young couples to have three children. But do you know that there's a shortage of kindergarten places, school places, and then for those living in the North District, they can't get buy milk, baby formula for their babies. So I believe Mr. Lau Pak Kei, our colleague, has a very difficult time being a father. But anyway, I hope that the Financial Secretary can consider measures to try to encourage more births in Hong Kong. Madam Kwan, every year we have 54,000 people coming into Hong Kong to settle. But then there are also people coming who are professionals who come to Hong Kong to work. And I believe the number is not too small. And, you know, in the CSD, FSD, in the police, in the civil service, you know, in the disciplined service in particular, they are all very fit and healthy. And when they are 50 years old, 60 years old, they are fitter than those who are 40 years old working in the services industry. So, how can we try to make the best use of such manpower resources? So, now I understand that we have about 54,000 coming on one-way permits every year, but does this number include professionals coming to Hong Kong to work? Chairman, in Donald Zhang's days, he said that he wanted to supplement the labor force in Hong Kong by encouraging the birth of type 2 babies. Now, Mrs. Carrie Lam says this is not our policy now, but I think in the long run, we do need to have mainlanders coming to take up jobs that Hong Kong people are unwilling to take up. In Donald Zhang's days, there were type 2 babies, over 200,000. So
I believe most of them are in Guangdong, but of course there are some in other provinces. So these, the parents came, they left and returned to China with the babies. And what Donald Zhang did not do was a tracking survey. Now, you know, these tattoo babies do not have household registration in the mainland. So they can't have school places unless they are rich enough to go to private schools. So these babies, these children will come back to Hong Kong. But when? Now, at the moment, we see a shortage of kindergarten places. In a few years' time, we may see a shortage of primary school places and then a shortage of secondary school places. Let's try to locate these type 2 babies. These type 2 children, type 2 babies, may have a difficult time in the mainland. Let's try to locate them. Let's try to ask them when they will be back in Hong Kong to study. Mr. Chow?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. And I thank Mr. Nip for his briefing.
I want to say that I endorse the broad directions in this document. The Family Planning Association used to advocate 2 children for each family. And now people are reluctant to have children. As my colleague has pointed out, there aren't enough incentives. Perhaps we can make reference to what has been done by some Southeast Asian countries. Let's be bold. First child, $50,000. Second child, $100,000. And then, I mean cash, all right? And then third child, double the amount. And also, there should be an enhanced tax allowance. Or retrospective effect, these measures to take retrospective effect, yes. And also, our universities accept a lot of top students from the mainland and other places. And after graduation, they can only stay for 1 year. So let's allow them to stay for 3 years so that they can work here and get married here and have children here. So let's offer more incentives. I think non-cash incentives are usually not very attractive. And also, please allow these graduates to stay for over 1 year, not just 1 year. And then no school places, no baby formula. I think our policy bureaus have to plan ahead. We cannot start thinking of solutions when these type 2 babies start to come back. So may I suggest that our policy bureaus plan well in advance. So these are my suggestions. Thank you. All right, no further questions or comments. Then may I invite Mr. Nip to respond.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members.
Members have given comments on many aspects, but it seems that most members have given their views on encouraging births. Now, we hope that members of the public can give us their suggestions and comments during the consultation period. We hope to come up with feasible measures. We want to know the public's preferences.
with regard to increasing the local manpower, I agree with the deputy chairman in that it would be good if homemakers can join the labor force either on a full-time or on a part-time basis. And I understand that childcare services are being provided, but as to how we can further strengthen such services, I agree that this is an area we need to look at. And then training and retraining. Now, for women who have not worked for some time, if they want to work again, then it's important that suitable training and retraining courses be provided to them to help them rejoin the local, rejoin the labor market. And then retirement age. Hong Kong is different from other countries in that we don't have a statutory retirement age. It is just that within the civil service, civil servants usually retire between 55 years old and 60 years old. And there isn't a statutory retirement age for private companies to follow. In fact, the CSB, Civil Service Bureau, is carrying out a study on putting back the retirement age of civil servants and setting the retirement age for new recruits. And I understand that early next year, this study will be completed. So we'll see what arrangements we can make within the civil service concerning retirement age. The quality of our population, of course, that's very important. It seems that many people are of the view that they must go down the academic route. In other words, they must take the DSE, they need to go to university. But then there are jobs that require technical skills which cannot be filled. And then for university graduates, they feel that their choices of work are rather limited. Salaries have not risen. The median wage has not increased too much over the past decade. If you take into account inflation, in fact, real wages have dropped for new graduates. And so in this document, we are proposing that we should do something about vocational education. In other words, we have to change the mindset of parents and students towards vocational training. Vocational training is, in fact, an alternative to tertiary education.
And then for new source of residence, for the one-way permit holders, under Article 22, Bracket 4 of the Basic Law, if any mainland resident is to come to Hong Kong, he has to be vetted by the mainland authorities. That's the requirement under the Basic Law. But the objective of the one-way permit system is family reunion. Apart from family reunion, if we add other principles like age, educational qualifications, or even gender, it would be very problematic. How are we going to screen the applicants? Because the main objective is family reunion. So there is this fundamental issue. So the one-way permit system aims at allowing families to be reunited. That's why we do not intend to change that principle. Since 1997, 98% of the new immigrants came to reunite with their parents and spouses. And then for cross-boundary marriages, at the moment, the percentage stands at 35%. That is
85% of local marriages per annum are cross-boundary marriages. Since 2007, Hong Kong people having mainland wives or Hong Kong ladies getting a mainland husband, the percentage has risen from 1-2% to 12-16% at the moment. So there was a huge increase. And for those coming for family reunion, 86% of them have educational qualifications of over secondary education. Quite a huge enhancement over the past. So our policy objective is family reunion. So it is necessary to keep the one-way permit system. This batch of newcomers may become the main source of residents for Hong Kong's population. How are we going to enhance their abilities to meet the social needs of Hong Kong? That we have to look into. And then if we want to absorb mainland professionals and talents to Hong Kong, we cannot rely on the single, on the one-way permit system. We have to go through the dedicated scheme for professionals and talents. We already had such a system. And then mainland university students can stay in Hong Kong for a year upon graduation. That's a good scheme. And just now, councillors asked we whether or not we can increase that from 1 year to 3 years. We can discuss that because these people finished their university study in Hong Kong. They're also professionals and talents. They also understand Hong Kong, so it's easier to absorb them. So that's the present situation. As for labour importation, I'd like to reiterate that our intention is to protect the interests of local workers. However, in certain industries like construction, elderly service and catering, and retail businesses, there's a manpower shortage. There are local training programs to attract newcomers locally, but then the effect has been quite limited, and insufficient manpower has been produced as a result by these training courses. So under the supplementary labor importation scheme, we'll see what more we can do. So that's another direction we have to look into. As for elderly population, we hope that we can make use of the talents of our elders as soon as possible, as far as possible. Job arrangements can be made such that these elders do not occupy a permanent post, whereby blocking the career of the younger generation, but at the same time allowing them to continue to serve the community, it will be a good idea. So together with the business community, we'll see what measures can be adopted. The elders can also participate in voluntary work. There's room for development. As for enhancing the birth rate, just now members said that tax concessions or deductions would be most effective. Now, we can look into that. Now, whether or not the so-called reward should be given monthly or on some other basis, we can again examine that. And then for the so-called type 2 babies, when they apply for a birth certificate or visit a mother and child care centers, questionnaires are distributed to them to ask, for example, when they'll return to Hong Kong. Schools have also returned with some data on exactly how many had come back. So all these statistics and data can facilitate our planning work. For example, we can work out the future demand for primary and secondary schools. There's another point about planning. which involves different policy bureaus. Yes, we need coordination. We have a steering committee on population policy with six bureau directors in it. So we can coordinate different policy initiatives and formulate our future direction. For population growth, we do plan for future population growth. We have birth rates, death rates, 150 coming on single way or one way permits, etc., etc. So we do have calculations. We also look at our land sites and land uses. So we have to form new land sites and develop them. Finally, I'd like to encourage members to offer us their invaluable advice in the next 4 months. They should also tell us their specific proposals which they want us to implement. Thank you, Mr. Nib, for introducing to us the future direction for population policies. We're still in the consultation stage. As for our proposals, Mr. Ip consider them highly feasible. So once again, thank you, Mr. Nip, so much for this agenda item.